Hello and welcome to the debate right here at Press TV. I'm Marcia Hashimi. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, on Saturday, the International Atomic Energy Agency ruled that Iran had stood by the nuclear deal and its responsibilities up to date had been fulfilled. This would ultimately lead to the lifting of nuclear-related sanctions against Iran. However, all was not well, as reactions to this news have been mixed. However, two entities in the region, Israel and Saudi Arabia, have expressed their disdain to the agreement and say it is a mistake. And now one of the main countries involved in the deal, the United States, less than 24 hours since this news, has now reimposed more sanctions on Iran, allegedly for its missile program. What does it all mean? Stay with us as we take a look at it on this debate.
A historic moment for Iran and the international community. The nuclear deal between Iran and the five permanent members of the UN Security Council plus Germany finally reached the implementation day. The agreement took effect immediately after the International Atomic Energy Agency certified that Iran has met its obligations under the deal reached with the international negotiators.
Today, I released a report confirming that Iran has completed the necessary preparatory steps to start the implementation of the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action.
After the IAEA released its statement, Iran's Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif and EU Foreign Policy Chief Federica Mogherini appeared before the press to deliver a joint statement officially announcing the implementation of the deal.
All sides remain firmly convinced that this historic deal is both strong and fair, and that it meets the requirements of all.
Since Iran has met its commitments, multilateral and national sanctions related to Iran's nuclear program will be lifted. The European Union and the P5+1 countries, comprised of China, France, Germany, Russia, the United Kingdom and the US, will also cooperate with Iran on peaceful nuclear activities as envisaged under the deal.
President Hassan Rouhani has hailed the implementation of the nuclear deal with the P5+1 countries as a historic moment and a glorious victory for the Iranian nation. Rouhani added that all are happy with the development, except certain regional players and groups.
This victory has been achieved by the Iranian nation. The JCPOA is not considered a loss for any side, neither inside the country nor countries involved in the negotiations with Iran. Everyone is happy with the JCPOA, except the Zionists, warmongers, those who seek to divide the Muslim world, and hardliners in the US.
Experts believe that the nuclear deal will further consolidate Iran's power in the Middle East, despite some efforts to undermine it.
Saudi Arabia and Israel, as well as the Zionist lobby in the U.S. Congress, these actors have resorted to everything in their arsenal to prevent Iran from becoming a regional power. Iran's regional influence has increased sharply in recent years, despite efforts by those players to target Iran's core strategic interests in the Middle East. Now, with the implementation of the nuclear deal, Iran's economy will equally grow and the country's regional power will be consolidated.
The implementation of the JCPOA is the result of 2 years of intensive diplomatic and technical negotiations between Iran and the P5+1 group. And now it's unclear whether hardliners in the US and Israel will allow the deal to move forward or come up with new ways of impeding its progress.
I'd like to welcome my guests to the program out of Atlanta. Managing Editor of Veterans Today, Mr. Jem W. Dean, and out of Washington, D.C., former Assistant to U.S. Secretary of Defense, Mr. Lawrence Korb. Thank you both for being with us. Well, let's start this off with Mr. Korb in D.C. Now, the Europeans seem to be happy about the deal, probably because of the potential, mostly, of this young and educated Iranian population becoming consumers, perhaps, of a lot of European products. What do you think? There seems to be a difference in general, though, in the way the Europeans are responding and the way the Americans are.
Well, there are some Americans who would be against anything that Obama does, particularly now when we're getting into a presidential election year, because Secretary Clinton also was part of the negotiations that led to this agreement. So there's politics. There are other people who basically speak out against anything that helps Iran because they perceive as Iran as trying to destabilize the region, undermine the gains we have made in Iraq, for example. But by and large, that's all political theater. The deal is done. The Senate got to vote on it, but it was set up in such a way that they couldn't undermine it. And we've been through the same thing when President Nixon went to China, when he negotiated arms agreements with the Soviet Union, and even President Reagan, when I worked with him and he negotiated with Gorbachev, people said the same things. But in effect, they're not going to be able to do anything. And in a couple of years from now, when Iran rejoins the family of nations and its economy grows and Americans do business there, you're not going to hear people complaining about it.
Well, your take, Mr. Dean. Let's look at some other entities. We look at the Israelis, who are definitely adamant against this deal. How do you think that the implementation of this situation can affect Tel Aviv?
Well, it's going to put the heat on Tel Aviv, and what their concern is the Israelis, particularly with the Likud government, they have been living off the Palestinian boogeyman. When it lost its steam, they replaced it with the Iran boogeyman. And it's a cover for their failing economy, and also creates the environment where the U.S., they have the demands for the U.S. taxpayer to have to support their economy with all the money that we give. So when the boogeyman goes away, they worry about there's now going to be discussions. Well, do we really need to give Israel all of this weapons technology and funding? So they're always looking for another way to justify being on the take from the American taxpayer. But we also have the situation where the Iranians really do have an economic power. The Saudis are scared to death with them because they don't really have much of a domestic economy whatsoever. The Iranians are going to be selling gas to all their neighbors. They have all kinds of joint infrastructure projects. And the Europeans are coming in wholesale to invest a lot of money there. And once that money's invested, which is all goes up in smoke if there's a war, because there's no insurance coverage on that, anybody that tries to stir up wars as a way of making money for the industrial complex, they're going to get a lot of opposition from the business community.
Well, what about that, Mr. Korb? Mr. Dean has just talked about the business aspect and with the Europeans involved. I want to look at something that happened just a few hours ago, and of course that was the United States once again actually imposing more sanctions on Iran, this time dealing with the missile situation. What's your take on that? Less than 24 hours after the nuclear sanctions was supposed to be relieved little by little, why now? Why do you think Washington chose this time to do it in the way that it did?
Well, actually, the president waited until two things happened. One, that the other sanctions related to the nuclear program were lifted, and then we had the release of the Americans from Iran and the pardoning and the commutation of the sentences of those Iranian Americans who had violated the sanctions. So he did wait. And the sanctions basically are against those who are aiding Iran in developing the ballistic missiles, because that is a violation of the international agreements that will exist for the next several years.
Which international agreement, sir? It has nothing to do with the JCPOA, and there were not nuclear warheads. So which international agreements? And my question is, why at this time? You mentioned China, and let's look at that, because if we think about that, when the rapprochement was going on, had the American administration immediately done something against Beijing, would things have progressed as they have? And this situation, I'm going to pose this, go back now to Mr. Dean. Why do you think that it happened now? In many ways, perhaps, is it sort of a slap in the face by the Americans toward the Iranians? Or what was the point of this and doing it today?
I would counsel Iran that this is basically just a political move. The people involved are really no consequence to anything that's going to happen in the future. The Republicans are really going to do everything they can to run on the issue that if you elect me, I will undo the Iran deal. And they're going to do everything that to say that Obama sold the country out. They left Iran to eventually become a big nuclear power. So he needed a little window dressing to do a little something on the missile test. But as you said, this is a completely fraudulent issue. Iran has 2,000 medium-range missiles. Obviously, those things have to be tested. Everybody who has these knows they have to be tested. And we also know that Iran had no nuclear weapons program. So this whole thing that if they test their missiles, that means they're getting ready to put nuclear weapons on them is really just ridiculous. And I would basically go back that it's also being used as a ploy to get attention away from the U.S. forward deployment of its own missile defense shield. It's trying to get this thing in play that it's a justification for having this missile defense shield. Let's keep it going because we know eventually the Iranians, they're going to want to be able to launch nuclear ballistic missiles at us.
All right,
and that's also a hoax because
Yeah, just stay with me, please, Mr. Jim W. Dean and Mr. Lawrence Korp. I'm going to cross over and see what our viewers have had to say on Facebook about this subject.
One should remember that both Saudi Arabia and Israel are the reason for the chaos in the Middle East. Wait for a spectacular Israeli-inspired false flag in the USA to force it to change its foreign policy. Time for peace. Everything happens in the Middle East. The most significant unhappy groups are AIPAC, the Republicans, Israel, and the tyrannical monarchs of Saudi Arabia. Wait and see what happens when Donald Trump becomes the president of the United States. The Saudi regime killed the cleric Nimr in hope to stop the nuclear deal between P5+1 states and Iran. The unhappy groups will all die in envy and pain. Long live Iran. The majority of the Americans are also not happy because their Zionist Israeli masters are not happy. Little Hitler Netanyahu is angry because he wants Israel to rule the region.
Well, what about that, Mr. Korp? You've heard some of the comments. One of them I'll pick that says that the majority of Americans are not happy because of the Zionist influence there and how the Zionists are not happy with this situation. Your take on that, if you had to monitor or say, talk about the pulse of the American people in dealing with this situation, what would you say?
Well, basically, I think you have to go back to the fact that the American people in 2008 repudiated the policy of then President Bush, which talked about Iran being on the axis of evil. President Obama, right after he came into office, reached out to the Iranian people. Unfortunately, with President Ahmadinejad, it did not go well. Basically, then the international community came together and put on the sanctions against Iran, which led to the negotiations, which now have been successful. There's no doubt about the fact that there are countries in the region concerned about, for example, Iran's funded militia, Hezbollah, and what they're doing in Syria. The fact of the matter is that they're providing aid to the Houthis in Yemen, and people are concerned about this. I think the next step has got to be on January 25th when we have the peace conference in Vienna to solve the Syrian civil war. If everybody can agree on that, to come up with a transition government in Syria so we can all focus on dealing with the big threat to the region, which is ISIL or Daesh. And I think that's the direction we have to go.
And your take, Mr. Korp, we look look again at these new sanctions that's been put up against Iran, would you say that the United States has a problem with accepting the sovereignty of the Islamic Republic? One would think that, at least for the sake of goodwill, after having these talks for a very long time and finally coming to an agreement and implementation, that the United States would have at least waited before imposing new sanctions. So do they have a problem with the sovereignty of the Islamic Republic and its independence line?
No, I don't think so. Again, the way I read the ballistic missile prohibition, that's also involved in the UN sanctions. I recognize there's some ambiguity about what will happen before and after the deal, but I think President Obama, as my colleague said, acted very responsibly. Not only did he wait till after the Iran deal, the nuclear deal was done, and the Americans were repatriated, but they're technical. It's not against the country, it's against business people in the United States who are doing business with Iran to help them with their ballistic missiles. It has no impact on the Iranian economy.
What about that, Mr. Dean? Your take, because the nuclear sanctions in the very beginning, if we go back, they started off little by little in increments. It did not reach this peak that we have seen lately. It started off with some individuals, some companies. So your take on that same question.
I think the chances of there being escalating sanctions are absolutely zero. This is basically, I think, a period at the end of the sentence for Obama. He has other situations he needs to move on to. As Larry just said, he wants to wrap up Syria now, and they have a horrible mess still going on in Ukraine, which has been another U.S. foreign policy disaster. But the follow-up on what Larry said about the Syrian civil war, I would disagree. Something that's a Syrian civil war when you have 65 to 75 countries feeding in fighters who seem to have absolutely no problem coming into the area despite all the tremendous counter-surveillance we're supposed to be having. There will never be a real legitimate war on ISIS until we see that the people in the countries who are supporting ISIS come under sanctions. And there's been absolutely no talk about doing that because the countries are the United States, Israel, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and Turkey.
Okay, let me just get back because we don't have a whole lot of time. I want to get back to the subject at hand. And Mr. Korp, your take on, do you think that Iran will be able to make the best of this situation? Or do you see that obstacles, for example, if we're talking about entities like Israel or Saudi Arabia, or perhaps even the United States itself, will they continue to pressure Iran and try to break Iran, or do you see things a transitioning of state here?
Well, I see a big transitioning. I think, as we saw last week when the American patrol boats inadvertently went into Iranian territorial waters, and how well that was handled compared, for example, to the way the Chinese handled it when they hit the American plane and it was forced to land in China, or even what happened between Iran and the British back in 2007. No, I think Secretary Kerry and Foreign Minister Zarif have a wonderful relationship, and I do think that that's going to help. And I think it's going to also be very important that the Iranians use the economic benefits of this to deal with the situations they have at home. As I talk to people in Iran, there's a lot of economic problems that they would like to deal with, the standard of living. And I think in a couple of years, we're going to look back and say, this was a turning point to bring Iran back into the family of nations, particularly if they can work, you know, with us now in bringing the situation in Syria under control.
What about that, Mr. Dean? Your prognosis for Iran after this deal, how do you see it?
I agree with Larry that the trend is very favorable. The Saudi Arabians are going to be very unhappy. They're worried about the future of the royal family remaining in power with having the example of the Iranian economy just exploding and moving forward. And I think they're, but our fear is, from our point, is that they will be desperate to do anything to try to muck up what all this trending that we know is going to happen. And the same thing with the Israelis. And we have been very worried about any kind of a major false flag attack being thrown in to try to muck things up.
And what about out of Washington itself, staying with you, out of Washington itself, but we know that there's an election in November. How important is it who becomes president in the United States and how they deal with this agreement with Iran?
Well, I think it's very important.
Yeah, go ahead. Staying with Mr. Dean.
Well, I think it would be a disaster. The neocons are just gearing up to make Iran one of the major issues, and we're going to use every weapon we can to expose how horribly wrong they were, because the dagger that we have to put through the stake of the heart here is a lot of countries and a lot of intelligence people and big names said for years and years that Iran had a secret nuclear weapons program, and that was completely bogus. Our own nuclear weapons designers, our ex-IAEA inspectors, had told us for years it was absolutely a hoax.
10 seconds,
Mr. Dean.
We have
to hunt all of those people down and find out who they are and make examples of them that we don't want to be treated like this.
And I thank both of you for being with us. Mr. Jim W. Dean, Managing Editor of Veterans Today out of Atlanta, and Mr. Lawrence Korb, former Assistant to U.S. Secretary of Defense out of Washington, D.C. And as always, viewers, we appreciate you being with us on another debate. I'm Marzia Hashimi, signing out for myself and all the crew right here in Tehran. Thanks so much, and goodbye.